This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fans podcast, brought to you by our good friends at Innovated Companies, our good friend Randy Green, the construction team, heating and cooling team, and electric team fired up and ready to help you out. Doesn't matter if it's residential work, commercial work, or industrial work. That's the name you can know and trust, InnovatedCompanies.com. Randy's got 35-plus years of experience. He's a second-generation craftsman, as I always say, man of his word. If you get him involved early enough in the process, you may find he can save you some time, energy, and most importantly, money. That's our friend Randy Green with Innovated Companies. As always, we come to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Must say that I spent quite a bit of time at Patio's yesterday. We had the day game with a little bit of rain, and my son was supposed to play afterwards again. They had the opportunity to play a second game at Busch Stadium, but the rain gods took care of that, so when you get canceled and you were planning on being over at the stadium till about 8 o'clock anyway, you might as well turn it up a notch, as they say, and hit Patio's. So I had a great time. Crowd was lively, a lot of dancing going on, and way, way too many cocktails. But I am happy to say that we should have we're working with them now on the dates when you'll be able to meet and speak to my cohort in crime who's in studio today, the one, the only, normally on the M4byYachty.com hotline, but we'll just say the M4byYachty.com chair, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys? I'm very happy. I get excited every time I get to come over to the studio, tell you the truth, man. I love it here. You got some good friends back there.
Other than that
Cowboy fan guy.
Yeah, the Cowboy fan. You can't have that.
You can't have that in here.
But the new digs are cool. Wait till all the new equipment and everything's in. We're going to feel like real professionals, aren't we?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Well, as I just mentioned, I know you're excited, too. Like I said, we finally have, I think, everything in place with Patio's. Our goal is going to be, it looks like, to be there one Friday a month. So we'll space those out so that people can really plan for it. Be working with my friend today. I'm going to make him buy me lunch after this. We'll iron out the dates that are probably best for him. I'll get them over to our friends at Patio's, and we'll make sure everybody knows when we'll be there. Like I said, we've had a lot of fun with that in the past. You can ask him questions. You can take pictures. He'll sign stuff for you. He typically will bring over a couple of items from the fellas, and we'll give them away. You know, it's just always a good time at Patio's. We moved it back to give you guys time to get down there, so the Cardinals were gracious enough to let him do some duties, then come over, then go back. So, you know, rather than us try to do it earlier in the day when it's a little harder for guys to get off work, we typically been doing it about 5:30. So
that's the best time.
Yeah, that gives people time to get down there and meet our friend here. So I'm excited about that. Stay tuned, as we will be releasing those dates very soon. Well, my friend, I tell you, what was a interesting day yesterday. Like I said, we had the fortunate situation to sit in the green seats yesterday, and we're down there enjoying. If you've ever been, it's like I always tell everybody, if you haven't done it and you get the chance to do it one time, you have to. I mean, it's just it's a neat experience. I mean, I guess you don't have to. You don't have to do anything. But it is worth it, in my opinion. That being said, we walk out yesterday thinking, oh, my God, I hear the national anthem. And it's still raining, but they're starting the game. And it was like, they must know something we don't know. And what they knew was is that it was just going to do that little spitting all day. And they thought they could play through it, and they did.
I don't know what kind of radar they have, but they have a better one than I do.
I was going to say, because it looked to me like, why are they starting this game? It, you know. That being said, you know, Waino comes out yesterday. You knew you were playing a Brewers team that, you know, you were on the verge of sweeping. And so you thought, you know, they're going to come out guns a-blazing. You know, they got something, you know, they want to hold their end up. We kind of get an odd thing where I know you got to give guys days off, but I was really surprised Yelich sat yesterday.
He was having a couple of hard games. He's probably going to give him a mental break. But in the end, it wasn't a mental break. It was a mental breakdown.
Yeah, it was.
In the end, when the game was over.
Yeah, we were – I got to tell you that I took a couple friends yesterday, obviously parents of Tiger players as well, so that they could experience those green seats. And you got to meet them. They're great guys. Their kids play with my son. And they had never sat in those green seats before, so it was a great day. And they got to sit there and listen to you talk about the game. Almost
a little different.
Well, a little bit different than an average guy. And
an average fan.
I got to tell you, they both texted me last night and said it was amazing to listen to the way you were talking about the things that were going on inside the game. And the most amazing thing was, and I got to tell everybody this was great. Well, number one, one of the funniest things that happened was, so we're sitting, our seats are right behind the on-deck circle, in the green seats. You and Polo show up, and as I can only expect, and you're right behind home plate. So I get the high sign from Benji, like, hey man, there's three seats right here. So next thing you know, we all move over there and we're all sitting together. So about, I don't know, what was it, about the fifth inning, Yachty notices
sixth
that you're
inning.
Sixth inning, Yachty notices you're sitting in there, and you got quite a look. That was pretty good.
So he was trying to tell me, what in the world?
Yeah, what
are you
doing back
now?
Here? Like, you're gonna heckle? I think he thought you were gonna heckle.
You know what the funny thing was, Jimbo? He told me. He tried. Remember when the umpire saluted me with the hat?
Yeah.
He went like this.
Yeah.
Yachty said, hey, I want you to take that guy out of the stadium. And he started laughing. And then the guy looked back and, you know, Mark, he's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, I had a great relationship with the umpires. So
well, I'm sure most catchers do. Yeah.
You know, he just laughed at it. What the heck are you doing in there, buddy?
Well, the coolest thing, and both guys, it was funny, both guys had texted me last night, said the same thing. The coolest thing ever was the last at bat. You know, things get a little tense. Hicks comes in, you know, starts off Yelich with the hammer, not the fastball, comes back with the hammer again, and Yelich is out in front because Yelich is probably thinking he's not going to throw me the same pitch twice. I'm going to get the fastball here. Chops it foul. And we're kind of looking at what we think's going to happen here. So then we're talking, and I look back at you, and I said, what would you do here? And you go, I'd climb the ladder.
Yep,
I go up. And I mean to tell you, the next pitch, Yachty calls for it upstairs. They climb the ladder. And then I look back at you. I'm like, what do you do here? You go downstairs, and ball in the dirt. Yelich can't hold up.
It's just I always see it, Jimbo, like side to side, up and down and front and back, right? That's the way I see it. I know the analytics now is different. You know, you have to do some things different, but I see it that way. I see changing eyesight because it worked for me. It worked when they did it to me. You know, eyesight here and then you go down and you don't see it so well. You know what I mean? So I think that's in the years, of course, you know,
sure.
The years that you've been doing it without the help with anybody. Just
right.
You and the pitcher, right? And the pitching coach.
Well, and you know, we talked too about how we see pitch calling sometimes and a guy hammers a pitch. Like we were laughing about, what was it? Was it the Royals game the other day? They have a video, I guess, of the catcher looking in the dugout to get the sign.
Yeah. I would never do that.
He gets the sign from the dugout,
but
and
we don't
he puts
know
his head down. Yeah, I mean, maybe there's more to that. But, boy, it sure looks like he didn't like it. Put his head down, called it anyway, and then the guy hits the home run. So,
and then you saw his reaction
after
that.
Yeah.
He was pretty mad.
Well, and the thing is, and we always say this too, we look at pitch calls and things sometimes, and we, man, why'd they do that? Or why? Like yesterday, like sometimes, you know, it's two guys up there battling, right? And they're sometimes you overthink. And I had asked you, I was surprised they went back-to-back sliders on a guy, on as good a hitter as Yelich, because a lot of times you try not to. Now, unless, of course, you're 105, then it's like, here's 105, hit it, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of times when you speed their bat up, a lot of times you don't like to do that twice in a row. But you do it because they're sitting there thinking, well, he's not going to do it. So then you try to – so there's a variety of reasons, right? And but in the end, you've said this, Yadi said this when we were talking about it.
It's the batter, though.
Well,
because if it would have been Gamo hitting or Pena, whoever, I bet you he's probably start with the fastball. It's just Yelich that right. He's been hot and he's been seeing the ball well. You don't want a gapper, nevertheless, not even more a home
run. Gosh forbid, yeah.
You know, and you're just trying to – this is mentality of a catcher thinking ahead. Even if I walk Yelich, I'm still up two. And I battle with my next guy. You don't want to walk Yelich. I'm not saying that. But you pitch him tough instead of just trying to get something over. Remember when Yadi went to the mound? I bet you anything, he said, no get me over curveballs, no get me over sliders, no get me over nothing. Everything has to be like a two-strike pitch. You know, and I had those situations before, but I bet you that's what Yadi went out there and say. Every pitch that we throw to this kid has to be like an 0-2 pitch. And if you end up walking, I don't give a crap. Let's get the next guy. You know? So
yeah.
That guy will not going to be us yesterday.
Yeah.
You saw all the pitches.
Yeah. You even said, like, you were like, got to go talk to him. And, these things are happening is, they're happening and you're calling it as they're happening. And then the interesting thing, but where I was going with the others, the one thing you guys always say is you can call a pitch, but the pitcher's got to execute the pitch. Because we've talked
always.
About how many times have we talked about when if a pitch gets hammered, typically what you'll see is the catcher's mitt moving back to the middle of the plate. Mm-hmm. That's not where they wanted it. And they're reaching back towards the middle. And then that's when you kind of see the catcher kind of have that look like, oh,
let me tell
boy.
You this, Jimbo. I'm not going to say a name. I'm not going to say a team. But there's teams out there blaming the catcher. Right?
Yep.
And it's true. It's real life. It's happening. How in the world? I've been playing since I was 5. Yadi since he was probably 3 or 4. And Jose since 3 or 4. Never blame the catcher. And you know this, not because it's us, any catcher. It's the execution on the pitch. It's always going to be executing the pitch. If you ask for a fastball away and the hit and the pitcher hits it, you know, right in the corner off the plate, and Yelich hit a home run to left field. Hey, you tip your hat, but it's not the catcher. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't in reality, you don't want to blame anybody. That's the whole thing. In baseball, you can't blame the pitcher or the catcher. But there's teams out there that are blaming catchers. And you know what that tells me is that they're as dumb as I thought they were. Because how the heck do you gonna blame the catcher? The catcher gives a sign. Puts the gloves in the corner or in the other side, and he waits for the pitch to be executed, right? And the pitcher hangs a curveball, or you ask Waino, or you ask Waka when he gave up all those home runs the other day. He'll tell you. He would never say he's a catcher because he has the ball in his hand. So he has to execute the pitches, and that's it. But there's teams out there with this analytic crap going on, you know, which I'm in favor too. I mean, I'm not saying I'm against it. I just think sometimes they get out of hand. But it's the pitcher that has to execute the pitch 100%, man.
Well, I'll give you this. Watching Marcell Ozuna's home run yesterday is a prime example of what we're talking about. He starts Marcell. He falls behind Marcell 2-0. Okay? Marcell swings at a breaking pitch low in the zone, is way out in front and swings and misses. And I'm sitting there going, I mean, we're talking about it. Like, man, he sold out. He thought, I'm going to get a fastball here and I'm not going to be late, right? So, and that's what happens, right? Like, guys do that. Okay, that's how it works. But then I'm sitting here and he throws him a gut shot fastball on the next pitch and Marcell hits it about 110 off the bat, hooks it out of there with a line drive into the seats. And I'm sitting there going,
But can you blame the catcher for that?
No, you can't blame the catcher. I'm sitting there going, number one, you had it. You were careful enough with him to go 2-0
and slider,
and then you went down away, and he was way out in front.
And then
why?
You go,
yes, yeah. What? Like, ugh.
It didn't make sense. Yeah. I'm telling you, but a lot of times it happens. And when Yadi goes to the mound, I bet you anything, and he tries to talk to them, he will tell them. He's like, "Hey, listen, I don't want any get me over pitches.
Yeah, here. No get me overs here. No,
they won't miss it. So let's go 0-2 from the first pitch."
Right.
And when I face good guys like that, that's what I did. I went up there making sure that my pitcher knew that I didn't want no get me over curveball, no get me over changeups for strike. If it's 2-0 count and I call for a slider, it's a 0-2 slider. Because I don't care if he walks or something like that.
Well, and that's kind of what we were having some fun with yesterday. Is I think people are always curious, like, what are they talking about? What is, like yesterday, what is there to talk about? You know, like, I think one of the guys had said, like, you know, what do you think's being said? But, you know, the whole thing, to be honest with you, is always intriguing. It's the battle within the battle. We're very fortunate in this town, folks, and I think we should all know it. I mean, we've got one of the best. There's no doubt about it. He's respected across
one
the
of,
league.
One of the smartest... Not player, because he goes beyond player. One of the smartest guys, people that have touched this earth. I mean, Yadi, it's amazing. The more I hang out with him, and don't think whenever we go to his house, don't think it's all like no baseball around. I mean, his kid is pitching to me with the wiffle ball. I'm pitching to him. We're watching five TVs with baseball. Every single game is on, and he's analyzing every game. I mean, he's saying, watch this. This guy's going to do this. Watch this. That guy should do this. And you're like, wow. I mean, it's like his head is way ahead, right? I think – I'm not saying he's smarter than anybody. I'm just saying he's smart. He's a smart human being, and he's ahead of the game. And for a lot of kids out there and coaches that are doing the kids, anticipation – it's the big, big word for those kids. Make him learn anticipating a ground ball to the hole. What do I do? Anticipating a pop-up. Anticipating anything. A well pitch in the dirt. You know, like, what's going on, you know? So they can learn to be ahead of the game. And I think that's one of the best things that Yadi does.
Well, I'm curious to get your thoughts on where we're at, because the reality of it is where we're at right now is in first place. And when I say get your thoughts on where we're at, we had kind of talked about how we got here to this point, because, you know, we had times where people were already, you know, already ready to fire the manager, and they're ready to cut this guy, and they're ready to do this, and we're not going to re-sign this guy, and why did we do this? So, interestingly enough, we had said that we were going to wait a couple of months, right? So, you know, we can't, just because now they're in first place, we can't go, okay, well, now this is who we think we're. I still think we're still going to go through that, and let's see a little bit. On bow ties and bullshit last week, our, you know, surprisingly, the man of reason was Mo's algorithm, and he said, hey, look, let's get out of, let's quit playing in these parks that are amusement parks. Let's go play some real baseball and see how we do, okay? Because, and you even said it when you came back from Mexico. So they were going to play two series in Milwaukee, the one after Mexico. They went to Mexico, and you said, if you think the ball flies in these other parks, you should have seen the way it was jumping off the bat in Mexico. So they've kind of been playing in these parks. Let's get them into a situation where you can play some what we would call real baseball, right? And let's see how they do. And I think we'd be hard-pressed to argue where we're at right now. So let's get some thoughts on that. Before we do, let's remind you to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. The things we're going to ask you to do at the website there is, first and foremost, subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. You guys get a little notification each time the show comes out. We'll do it. You know, we typically try to do it Mondays and Thursdays. You know, things happen. And then we'll do it some different days, or if a series dictates, but we'll try to put it out at the best times and with bow ties on Wednesdays. Like I said, every now and again, our schedule gets kind of crazy. And we have to redo. Like, I know Monday I have a medical thing I have to have done, so I won't be here, but we'll figure it all out, right? So that being said, you know, if you subscribe to the show, you get the notification that lets you know. You can check out our bloggers, Two Birds Bloggers. We're really enjoying having some of that work for all of you guys to check out and read, and I know that we're really, really enjoying it and having a great time with those people as well. Two Birds Bloggers, all you do is click the banner, it'll take you right to it. You can check out some of the amazing work that these folks are doing. Check us out on social media, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Facebook, always a big push for us on Facebook because that's a way for us to really get the community involved. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Make sure you've liked our page. Invite your friends. That's, you know, everybody's got a lot of friends, right, on Facebook. Benji's shaking his head. He's got a lot of friends. Click invite your friends. Invite.
You got to tell me how to do that, too, because yeah. I try it a couple times.
Yeah, we'll do a tutorial on that. That'll be a good one. So
yeah, because I tried.
Yep. Well, we do it, and then you guys invite them. They join. They follow us. They have a great time. They get more involved in these conversations. When you see the pinned post, click like, throw a comment on it, and if you share it, that's really the way that we reach more people, and we appreciate it so much when you guys do that. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and of course, you can find us at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform that you guys can enjoy on your mobile device for free. You guys will love it. I know I do. Don't forget our friends at Adam Smokehouse. Look, Benji's shaking his head over there. Adam Smokehouse.
Can't forget Mike.
Can't forget Mike. Best Barbecue in St. Louis, folks, located on Watson Road. Guys, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, they're open till 7, so you can pick it up on your way home. You can stop in for dinner. The specials, the sides, everything. You can go with the traditional ribs. They do box lunches for large orders if you want to do it for work or an event or something like that. Catering, awesome catering. I always say, again, I played in a golf tournament last Saturday. I wish there was some Adam Smokehouse there. That would have been tremendous. Guys, I tell you, you are not ever going to find better barbecue. I know there's good barbecue in town. I know some of you are saying, oh, what about this? What about that? I'm not even saying that there's anything wrong with that. What I'm telling you is it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. St. Louis, here's your cue. That's Adam Smokehouse. Special thanks, as always, to our friend Mike. My good friends at Gators Baseball Academy, the four-pillar system where they care just as much about the athlete becoming a good person as they do a good player. I love those guys over there. I love what they're doing. I've told you guys that I'm going to be doing some stuff on the Illinois side of the river as they work to expand over into the Illinois side. Obviously, they have the Missouri Gators. And then, of course, for all of our high school players out there, they have the Gators Baseball Academy. You guys can look for some really cool things to be happening over there. Actually, going to be speaking to the man himself here today at lunch about maybe doing some camps with Molina Baseball. So look for that information coming out soon as we can figure out when Benji can be there. And he can talk to some of these youngsters about, you know, not just catching. I know a lot of people think, oh, is he going to do a catching thing? It's not just catching. It's how you see the game. It's how you approach the game. It's how you play the game. We're really excited.
And I play all the positions, so I have a little bit of
sure.
A little bit of experience.
Just a little.
Yeah, I played every position. I was taught every position. So I have an idea. I'm not saying that I know everything, but and also, Jimbo, I pay attention. Pay attention when I was catching. I pay attention to what the pitching coach was saying. The infielders, outfielders, everything. So I have a good idea of basics.
Yeah, we were toying around with the name for it. I kind of like Molina Baseball School 101. Basic. Well, seriously, I think that, you know, if you talk to a lot of coaches, they'll tell you that just basic baseball IQ is really lacking in a lot of the kids they get. They're getting athletes. I mean, kids are getting it, right? Like they're doing speed, they're doing agility, they're getting stronger, you know, exit velo, arm strength, all that's getting better, right? But what they wind up getting are kids that don't know how to play sometimes. And it's hard, right, because of the way the game is set up now. So we thought we'd bring a little bit of baseball 101 to you guys from one of the greatest baseball minds I know, the one, the only, Benji Molina. So look for that as well. We're going to work on those dates and get those out to you guys as well. You guys can sign up for that. And that's all going to be through GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. So check that out. You guys will enjoy it. I know that you will. Okay, my man, as I look at this team, and I know that, you know, you and I have kind of like went back and forth on different guys and things like that, not being judgmental, just how they're doing. You know, here we sit today at 15-9. The Milwaukee Brewers are 500, 13-13. Now, interestingly enough, we talked about how the Dodgers were going to be a rough matchup for them because of the left-handed thing, but, you know, a little bit different too when you go out there and play or when you do that. But, you know, I'm not going to judge Milwaukee based on their home record, okay? They are obviously a couple games better at home.
They're not being judged by the home record. They're being judged by their record overall. When a week ago, everybody was just giving Milwaukee the championship.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
I remember MLB Network and all those guys. This Milwaukee team is for real. You might as well just, you know, do that. And I'm like, Really? It's like really early. You don't know what's going to happen. Plus, they don't have a starting crew that it's, you know, on the top. They're in the middle like everybody, you know? So, you know, and you guys are seeing it, what's happening.
Well, you know what's interesting? I got to tell you, and you know, you've mentioned the word analytics a few times. If you just watch some games, right? If you just watch some games, I think people would be hard pressed to believe that the St. Louis Cardinals run differential is plus 33 and the Milwaukee Brewers is minus 14.
I remember Jimbo, it's hard to believe it because the way they were playing, right? You know, at that time we were saying all those things. But let me tell you this. Remember when we were saying about St. Louis, imagine if Fowler starts hitting and then Carp is not as cold as he was last year. Because he's not, I mean, this year. Imagine if Wong would have been hitting what he's doing right now. Remember those? We talk about it. Okay? Marcel was doing his thing. Jose was doing his thing. Yadi was doing his thing last year. And all those guys, DeJong was doing it. He got hurt, but he was doing it. And remember when we were saying if DeJong could hit how he can, how much of a difference that could make? Well, you guys are seeing it right now. This is all four guys in a lineup doing great right now. Hitting the ball good, moving guys over, you know, hitting homers, getting RBIs, clutch RBIs. That's what makes a 15-9 team. But if you have trouble with those four guys, it will be the other way around because we couldn't score and we couldn't get games on top, you know. So, plus the bullpen, right, obviously. That's another thing. But I'm saying, like, that's what makes the difference, those four guys in the lineup.
Well, if just looking at a couple of guys, you know, you really couldn't, like, nobody was on Paul DeJong. He's been doing really well pretty much the entire time, right?
We just said, the only thing I said about him was I don't like him third because I thought he was going to be more comfortable in the fifth, in the sixth, in the seventh. That's all I said. Now, he seems pretty comfortable in third, hitting third, so I don't mind that at all.
Couldn't be happier. The two names at that time that people were looking at, and I don't, you know, when it's that early, you don't know how many people are just talking or if they're really serious. But I mean, the two most prominent names and guys that you count on. I mean, we just start with Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, people were like,
and how good,
you know,
he's
hitting under 200, and it's like. Now here we are. That's right. Now here we are. He's hitting 281, and not, you know, and it listen, when you're hitting 198 or whatever it was that day when it came out, like he had dropped below 200 or whatever it was, and we were talking about that, and then you started to see some people, and you couldn't even tell if they were kidding or what their comments were, but it was like at that time you're looking at it and you're going, yeah. But, you know, he's not going to hit that. And it's real easy to say he's not going to hit that because then you're looking, and the power numbers were there, right? And he had the RBIs, and you're sitting there going, you know, and he's still walking a little bit. So you're sitting there going, it's not as bad as you think, right? Let me tell you something. Now, even thinking that and knowing that, let me tell you, when you've got 9 home runs and 19 RBIs and 14 walks, when you get the average up to 281 and the on-base up to 373, it looks even better.
Yes.
So I think people all across the, you know, the way.
I think they should listen to us more.
I'm wrong as much as I'm right.
I'm not saying we're always right. It's just because you need to know who we are saying that you don't need to worry about.
Right.
That's all I mean. I didn't say that we were smarter than anybody. We're not. But I'm just saying like Ozuna, you don't have a reason to worry about. Yadi, you have no reason to worry
about. Yadi was the name I was going to bring up because on opening day weekend, you were working, and Steve-O and I were there for the first Edwardsville game. So we were together, and, you know, we were just sitting there, and Yadi came up to bat. And I know it was early. I don't care how early it is. When a guy like Yadi comes up to bat and it says, remember this? It said 077 or 071. It was one of the two. Doesn't matter. So then me and Steve were like, man, I mean, you wonder if even a guy like Yadi standing there looking at that going, geez, come on.
Nope.
So after the game, when you came down to watch the high school team play and we all were sitting there watching, You know, we were talking about it. And that day, I think he either had one or two hits that day, and he hit the ball hard, I think. And you had said that day, see, right there, that's the kind of game. Now, again, I think you should have filled out an NCAA bracket because you wound up being right about a lot of things that day. But or bought a lottery ticket or something. But you were like, that's the kind of day. Right now, you watch. From right here forward, you watch. And, I mean, here we are, not even –
Yeah, he's one of the guys you don't worry about. You don't worry about Ozuna, him, Goldschmidt. You don't worry about Martinez, Jose. Remember when how he started really slow because he wasn't playing?
Well, he's and only hitting 344 like,
oh,
now.
Oh, man, he's not hitting. Well, he's not hitting because he wasn't playing. But watch now. He's playing every day, and look at how he's hitting. So – those guys you don't worry about. I worry about DeJong because he had an injury last year, and we didn't know how good he was going to be, right? And now I don't worry about it. Of course, he's crushing it. But then you worry about Carpenter because he's still in the same bubble, you know, like 222, 220. But the at-bat doesn't – some of the at-bats don't look how Carpenter is, you know, how good he is.
Yep.
And then Fowler, you know, obviously – it's doing great. So let me tell you, Jimbo, if you have four guys and these guys are part of your lineup, the main guys, you know, Wong, DeJong, and we can mention a Fowler, and you have those guys hitting, come on, man. That's why you see the flip on the
standings, the wins and losses, stuff. Sure.
If you do that, I bet you 9-15 would have been our record because they couldn't hit. But now they're doing it. They're putting everything together. They're pitching good ball, even though they're going 5-6. But who cares now? They're trying to put the bullpen out there that can throw two innings at a time. They're doing a great job, man. They really are. The Mike Maddux and Childs and Albert down there, they're doing a great job. Right? You can see it, man. It's not easy to beat four times the Dodgers. When they came hot,
yeah, they were coming in here.
They were coming hot. It wasn't like they were struggling.
That was kind of when this whole thing was like, okay. And then
we
had the hiccup in Milwaukee. But that was when it was like, look what we just did to the Dodgers at home. Let's it was almost like a litmus test of, let's get out of here. Let's get home. We come home. We face the Mets. We win a couple, right? And take a series. When you know, always important to win a series, right?
Good pitcher.
Yeah, you win a series, okay? And then... then you're like, okay, now let's measure ourselves and see. And then you go out and sweep.
And then you sweep Pittsburgh when that time Pittsburgh was in first place.
Right.
I mean, this group right here, Jimbo, I mean, these kids, they know how to win. I always said it. It's a matter of time that these kids right in the bottom of the lineup start hitting and this team will take off. And that's what they're doing.
Well, speaking of that, so I got to get your thoughts on this. I think right now we're at the only point where if you were to ask me right now, like, you know, do you have any concerns? Well, you know, you're going to have some people that would have brought up Waino. And, you know, he just goes out and gives you six. And, you know, and you know, you're crying for that. You know, you're crying for guys to go six innings, possibly seven, right? So he goes out and does his job, and I thought he did a great job. Like, what we saw behind, like, being that close. Like, listen, let me tell you something. When you sit that close, was it really, really cool to watch Jordan Hicks throw? It was really awesome. Because here's what I can tell you. You know how it looks different on TV? It looks really different when you sit right behind home plate. You figure out real fast what the difference is, right? But even watching Waino up close, you realize how he gets people out. Now, you can also see how... like if you looked at the first inning, because it started off where it looked like he was struggling a little bit with his command. He couldn't spot this, and then it made him a little predictable, and they were sitting on pitches. That's what it looked like to me early. And then he kind of found something, and that's that competitor, that's that experience that I don't know that you can replace that I think sometimes we dismiss. But if you were to ask me, some of that kind of stuff would have been the easy way out. But, you know, Carpenter's not hitting 160 or 170 like he was last year. The average is over 200 barely, but the thing that bothers me more about him is the on-base percentage, because at least the on-base percentage, you would like it to be there if he's not going to do that, because guys, we talk about the walks.
On Carpenter, guys are coming at him the way he doesn't hit, right? You know, his weakness. You know what I mean? Like every it seems to me like when we do the games and we're talking about Carp, they're going at him the pitches that he doesn't hit. And then they make the pitch. You know what I'm saying? It's not too many mistakes. And when he sees a mistake, he usually takes them. So that gets you into trouble. I think he needs to be more aggressive on the strike zone like he was before. He didn't miss those pitches because he was ready to swing. Now it's like pinpointing pitches because he wants to get on and stuff like that, which is nothing wrong, but it's going to find yourself low in the average. So it's hard to tell for Carp because these guys are being pitching him really tough, and he's being – I mean, I still believe that he's going to come out of it, and he's going to be the guy carrying us a few weeks at a time, you know, and he can do it, man. I just think it's pretty scary. It'll be scary for the Cardinals to see him slumping, you know. So, but I think he's going to be fine. I really do believe it. The whole team is doing great, Jimbo. I mean, I don't worry about anything. I mean, the only thing could be a worry right now would be a starter just because we lost Carlos and we lost Waka to something. And then it'll be the bullpen. Can they hold on or would they need a help? That Gant, man, that Gant, John Gant there in the bullpen is money, man. It's money. I always said it, remember? Yeah. I always like him as a reliever.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, we got I know one time's not an answer, but it is a sample. You know, we fell into a spot where we needed a starter, and Ponce de Leon, I thought, come up and did a great job. And that's always good to know. So
Flaherty's,
you know,
going to pitch better.
Sure. I think so.
He's going to be better.
Michaelis will be better. So I'm feeling better about that. So I guess today, really, the only thing that I want to ask you, and you know, what's interesting is you mentioned this, not disrespectfully, you mentioned this in spring training, that everybody had kind of just assumed that Harrison Bader would play center field all year long. And so I got to ask you right now, is there any way, shape, or form you can't roll Dexter out in center and keep Jose in right field right now?
I tell you what, Jimbo, it'll be crazy to think that Shields is going to change that lineup that it is right now. It will be unbelievable, and he would take so much crap, which he doesn't care. But it will be unbelievable that if Shields changed the lineup that's going on right now. I think Fowler is going to stay in center. I think Jose is going to go to right.
Cafe Jose.
Yeah, because you know yeah. That story, right?
No, go ahead and tell everybody.
Oh, Cafe is coffee.
Right.
And that was his grandpa nickname when he was playing. He used to work at a coffee, you know, area and, you know, plantation and stuff. So they call him Coffee, which is cafe in Spanish. So his dad, I played with him. And he was the guy who hit that fly ball with Canseco.
I remember you telling me that. The ball hit Canseco's head and went out.
Yeah, that was the guy. And that was his daddy. They call him Coffee, right. Cafe. And now it's Cafecito, which is Little Coffee.
Little, okay.
So that's what we call him. So whenever you hear Cafe or Cafecito, it's Jose Martinez. So, and it's going to be really hard for Shields and the Cardinals to get Martinez out of the lineup. I don't see it happening. I love Bader. Don't get me wrong, Jimbo. I really do. I love Bader. I even love O'Neill. Every time he plays, he ends up doing something really cool, man. I really do love O'Neill. But the lineup that's going on right now, which I was surprised that Fowler, you know, wasn't playing yesterday. I don't know why.
Yeah, that was interesting.
But I think
somebody may have sent in that I think against the starter, maybe he had some bad numbers.
Oh, okay. So
I could be wrong. Yeah, I could be wrong. Or maybe it was the other way around.
That's okay. I'm just saying that it was a surprise.
I thought I remembered seeing that. I could be completely wrong about that. Don't hold me to that. In fact, I think it might be the other way. I could be wrong. Maybe it was Bader who had struggled against him. So
yeah. But Bader's coming from an injury and the field was wet. So. And it was really crappy with the weather, right? I mean, you know, wet field, wet grass, and you don't want to have a guy just coming up from the injury and a hamstring or a quad and pulling something again. So I understand that. But not seeing Fowler yesterday was kind of surprising. We'll find out what it is. But I don't think they need to change anything right now. I love Bader. I love O'Neill. I really do. But right now, this lineup is playing well. And he's getting used to each other. Did you see how the first one that hits, obviously Goldsmith is very quiet. But the first one that hits, it has so much energy, is Ozuna. And then he gets to first base, and he's joking around with Martinez.
We were talking about it yesterday. How much
like he's
fun.
Yelling, and Martinez looking at him like, I'm going to get him, you know, watch this or something. Yeah. And then Yadi's yelling on the on deck. Those three right there, they were having that conversation in the middle of the game. And what does that tell you? It's a great chemistry, man. It's a great lineup. Just leave it like that. And then Paul DeJong doing in third, what he's doing right now, it's amazing. This kid is doing things, and he's swinging the bat healthy. That's another thing. Last year he got hurt on the hand or something, and we didn't see him that much. But man, they're swinging the bat so good right now, and he's really fun to watch, and he makes that 15-9, together with the pitching, of course. Bullpen's doing great, too.
Yeah, Dominic Leone's been kind of the unsung hero down
there,
I think.
Yeah, but he's been doing good,
too. He's doing good. I mean, they're doing fine. We talked a little bit about Andrew Miller, that you can see how dominant he can be.
He will be.
Well, I got to tell you, of all the things that were really interesting to watch there yesterday, I mean, I guess it's a good thing. It's also obviously a bad thing. I mean, he can't throw the ball straight. I mean, there is no straight fastball with Andrew Miller. And I think maybe when your ball moves at times, sometimes you just struggle a little bit to throw a strike, and then you try to get too fine, take something off, and you become hittable. But he'll find it. I know you said you've talked to him a couple of times, and he was struggling a little bit with his slider. He'll be okay.
Fine. And plus, we're asking him for a lot more than what he really came in for, right? I thought he came in for one inning and lefties here, lefties there. And that was it. But now he's been pitching to a lot of right-hander hitters and an inning plus. So, you know, he'll be fine. He'll find a way.
Hey, before we go, I got to ask you, some people had sent some stuff and they're real curious because I don't know that it got addressed. Did you ask your brother what happened when he was on third base the other night? Did he just take a bad step off third on the fly ball, or did they hold him?
No. That was all Yadi. He'll tell you. He just saw the fly ball. He was getting ready, and then he –
Did he leave early?
Yeah.
Okay.
He left early. He was like, oh, shoot, I left early. It's going to be an out.
Yeah.
But that's not the worst part. The worst part is that he feels so horrible, Jimbo. Well, Yadi runs way better than I do, right?
Yeah.
He runs way better. But when I run the way I do, and I know the next guys, when I'm on base, they're not going to get that many RBIs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I already know that.
Right.
So when the fly ball goes to... When the fly ball goes to deep left, and you're like, okay, he can score here, like me, like I can score, and then you don't do it, you feel double horrible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you know when you hit, those guys scores for you because they're fast.
Right.
And then when you're on base, I'm not talking about Yadi, I'm talking about like me. Like I felt horrible when I was in second base and the ground ball or left field, and anybody else, Bader or Wong, could have scored, but I couldn't. You know how bad you feel? You're standing at third and you know. So I usually went out to the guys and I said, hey, man, listen, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that I couldn't score on you. And listen, I wish I was faster. I wish I could run. I wish I could steal bases. But I'm not. This is who I am, you know. And if I can score, I'm sorry. But I did address it. You know, I went to the guys that were hit behind me, like Adam Kennedy hit behind me in Anaheim. You know what I'm saying? And then all the guys that hit behind me in Toronto. And then San Francisco. The guys could hit, but I couldn't score. So it feels horrible when you cannot do these things. And we saw it when the game was over and Fowler came in to shake hands. He just went like this. Yadi said, I'm sorry. You know, my bad. I'm sorry. It's my fault. And Dexter just went to him and gave him a hug and said, hey, man, don't worry about it. It's just in the heat of the moment, you expect that run to cross the plate, right? That's what you expect as a hitter. But at least these guys understand each other. Whenever I played Jimbo, they understood what I was, who I was, you know? And that's why I always try to help out. And you know, it is really difficult. But he left early, and he knew it, and he messed up. He owned it.
Well, that's kind of
worse than that.
Yeah.
Feeling.
Well, my question was really, is that what happened? Did he? Because we saw Warner kind of lean down, mm-hmm. and so my guess is that we saw him say go, and Yadi had felt he pulled his foot off before
but
Warner said go.
He left early. The coach will go to you early. They don't tell you to go right when the guy catches the ball. They go to you when the fly is in the air and they say, okay, you go. Or you stay here.
Right.
That's it. That's all they do. They say, go, go, go. And then when the guy catches it, you go. That's it. So the guy's pop was probably telling him, hey, go. You got it. And then Yadi just looking at it and just left early, and he didn't want to be double off, you know. So not the first guy, not going to be the last guy doing that, I tell you what. But it feels horrible for us, you know, that we couldn't do that, you know.
Yeah, I was
I'm sure they talked to after the game was over. And
yeah, I like I said, more for me, I was just curious if that's what it was, if that he just left early, or if it was
he
took a step and didn't feel like he got.
No,
that's what I was curious about.
It was just early. He left early, and a lot of the guys that leave early, they just keep going, but they're gonna be called out because now they have replays and
sure, yeah. So I guess, man, as we move into this thing, the only thing we can do is just keep playing the games that are in front of us, right, and just keep trying to play our game. We get a day off today, which, as you had noted yesterday, was going to be important because, you know, I'm sure they didn't want to use Hicks yesterday, but they wound up finding themselves in a situation to use him, so it'd be a much-needed day off for him. Then the Cincinnati Reds come to town. Now, the Reds have been an interesting team. Nobody can say that they haven't had some of their own issues, but they have
their really good lineup.
Yeah, they do.
Really good.
I think
the pitching.
Yeah,
I don't know, but the hitting, that lineup is scary.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to think. Here come the last place Reds.
No,
these aren't the same.
I don't think
Reds.
The Cardinals see it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I don't
either.
Think they see it that
they
way.
They got
either,
a lot of respect, and if you talk to them, they'll tell you we have a lot of respect for the Reds. And, Jimbo, one of the things that Cardinals are doing that people need to be excited is they're dividing every single day. They don't play who's pitching tomorrow. They don't care who's pitched yesterday. Waino did a great job. That's it. It's done. Great job, Waino. You got your 150 win, which is amazing, you know, and we love it. We love it. But I bet you anything, they want to turn the page as soon as they can, you know. They doing a good job at it. They're winning today. And forget about tomorrow, and then when tomorrow comes, we win tomorrow. But right now, we can't do nothing about tomorrow, so let's win today. And that's what they're doing different. I see that. I see that. They're playing hard every single game. They really are. They're playing good ball, but also, Jimbo, when the way they're hitting, it makes it a lot simpler, right? It makes it a lot more fun for everybody, the way they're hitting.
Let me ask you a question. Sometimes before this will be the last one before we get out of here, but I was just thinking about this and wanted to ask you. You know, they're all professionals, right? You have all types on the team, right? You've got guys, you got obviously our opinion, you have a future Hall of Famer on the team, right? You have some guys on the team that are young and are trying to make their way. You have some guys that have been inconsistent at times throughout their career. You have guys that, when given a chance, have performed, and they're just looking for more of a chance. And you got guys that have had great seasons, and then they try to do too much. You go through all this stuff, right? How big is it when you have a team that's a good team, but you go out and get – now, I know this is going to sound more like a kid thing, almost Bad News Bears-ish, like you're not very good and you go get Kelly Leak, right, the best player.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a deal is it for them to know that Paul Goldschmidt's in their lineup every day? Because I got to tell you, that was the other thing that was really cool yesterday. I know he's a big dude, and I know he's athletic and all this kind of stuff, but, man, his forearms look like tree trunks. I mean, this dude can swing it.
What have we been saying all along? We need a doer.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
We need a doer, and a doer meaning an all-star.
Right.
Like you said, you know, let's just not bring – I don't want to name names.
I know what you mean. I know.
Don't bring just anybody. Just
right.
Bring a doer, a guy who is used to doing it every
single
year.
A dude.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's what Goldsmith is. You know you're going to get a couple walks, maybe one hit. You know you're going to get three hits. You know you might get a bomb. He just hit a 464-foot home run. In St. Louis.
Yeah, not in Milwaukee, in St. Louis. Yeah.
464. We were talking the other day in the video room with him, and he said that's probably one of the farthest ball he ever hit. And that's what we needed, a guy that do it, not a guy that has a potential to do it. No, a guy who do it. And they found two of them. They found Ozuna.
Yeah.
and they found Goldsmith. Osuna was hurt last year a little bit.
Sure.
But it's hard to hit when you have a shoulder issue. But anyways, he did a good year. But now they have doers.
Right.
Martinez, he does it.
Yeah.
And then you got Goldsmith. He does it. Paul DeJong is doing it.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
It's not potentially Paul DeJong, 25 home runs in the season, potentially. No, no. He's doing it.
Right.
And then you got add Yadi to the case.
Sure.
You know? And then Wong is doing it. I mean, come on. And then Fowler is coming around. There's nothing right now that you can pinpoint and say, man, that thing's going to go wrong. No, man. They play the game hard. They play for fun. And they want to win. That's it. And they separate. Every day is different. Every day we're facing Kershaw. We're facing Bueller. Then you face Ryu, whatever.
Yeah, and, that was pretty close.
You know what I mean? So, but that's how they see the game. That's why they are so good.
Yeah.
Because they are able to separate every single game and go all out for that game. That's how they win.
I agree. Is Paul, like, sitting with Paul and talking to him, is he seems like a really nice guy. Like
really, really humble guy.
Humble, very like unassuming. Mm-hmm. But he seems to have fit in real good with this group. I think he's probably like
I think he'll loosen up.
Yeah.
More. He's very quiet. He doesn't like the showboating and you know, things like that. Like when he gets base hit or something, he'll look at the dugout. You can see him very shy, going
because he doesn't
want
to.
Like Osuna, or Yadi,
That
he, you know, doing the signs and stuff, or Paul DeJong,
sure,
doing the sign, or Bader, who gets excited, or Wong,
whoever,
But Paul is more like a very shy guy. You know, he'll loosen up. He'll loosen up. This is just a few games.
Well, that's your like you and Cafe Jose and Yadi and Marcel. I'm sure if anybody can do it, you guys can. I got to tell you, I was telling yesterday, Jose Martinez moved into our town here in Edwardsville, and I ran in and I'd met him with you, and surprisingly, I saw him walking like I was. Walking across the parking lot, and he was in a local place.
You can't miss him.
No, you cannot miss him. He come walking out, man, and he saw me, and he kind of looked at me like, I think I know you. And I went up to him, and I said, gave him my number, said, if you ever need anything. And with the studio's right here, he was like all excited. You know, I think he wants to come by and see. But I mean to tell you, this is a big dude, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize how big he was until you stand right next to somebody. You don't realize how big they are. I mean, he is a big dude.
The taller players have the advantage a little bit on hitting because they see the ball from the top, right? The pitcher, they see the ball this way. We see it this way.
All right.
It's a little different. That's why you see a lot of good hitters being tall.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big dude.
He's a big dude, man. And I love him. I love the attitude.
Fun guy, man.
Yes.
Fun.
I love that it doesn't matter. For this kid right now, what I notice is that they don't care who pitches.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care. Bring whoever. Like last year.
Yeah.
Kluber come in really hot.
Yeah.
He couldn't get out of the fourth.
Yeah.
And then you have Bueller, and they drove that guy nuts.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah.
Ryu came out hot. I mean, they don't care who pitches. Yet alone, they don't care who they're facing. So this team is for real, man. I really love it. I hope that we can keep up the whole way. And I really love the team. If we need to be supportive of this team and not critical, because there's nothing to criticize about.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm excited for the team. Some of my questions or even concerns or thoughts are being either answered or debunked. And I love that because, as I've said 1,000 times over, was Dexter Fowler my pick to play right field? No.
But not for many, them.
But it doesn't matter. He plays for us, and I want him to do well. You know, are some of these guys my – no. But it doesn't matter what
but
I think.
But look at why we wanted him to do good.
Right.
Look at why we wanted Wong to take off. Or look at why we wanted Carpenter to hit good or DeJong. Why? Because we want this that's happening right now.
That's right.
You know, that's what we were saying. If you're not going to do this, then somebody else needs to take your spot and do it so we can be in this spot. But now they're doing it, and look, they're taking off. So you know what I'm saying? That's what one of the reasons why we wanted those guys to do well.
Yeah, I'm like, to be – I got to tell you, I'm happy right now with just – I mean, they're – I don't – like, you can sit here and nitpick a couple of things if you want to, and let's face it, people will.
Of We should be excited.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited across the board. Good stuff, man. I'm glad you're here. I mean, having you here a whole lot more this summer has already been, well, summer for the season has already been a lot of fun.
And there's going to be breaking news. We are doing 53 games this year.
Yeah.
But they're adding 14 more.
Holy cow.
So 67 games in this year's calendar. We'll tell you when they pick the games. We'll announce it. But
I mean, you're almost up to the whole home schedule. Yeah. That's amazing.
And that was my goal.
Yeah.
Obviously, my goal is 162. But,
well, sure.
But that's.
But it is nice to be able to go home and see your family because I know you're staying now. You've got a residence. And
81 and, games is perfect.
Yeah, that would be perfect for you, wouldn't it?
We'll see. We've got to be patient.
Sure.
We've got to be thankful.
That, but you and Polo, it's amazing how you guys have become part of that. And this is an adult word if I've ever used one. Part of the fabric. I mean, seriously, you guys, like,
the fans have adopted us
right.
So well.
That's what that means. I guess what I'm saying is you've become more of the everyday stuff that goes on around there. And I don't want to say you're a novelty. My point was when you guys came in, you did the Spanish broadcast. It was cool. It was fun. People were excited about it. But now you're becoming part of the everyday stuff that's going on over there. And people really enjoy what you're doing. I mean, you can tell by the number of people that stop you in the stadium and want to take a picture with you and balls
and
Polo
too.
Let me tell you.
I mean, Polo.
I was hoping Polo was
going
to be able to come today because I got to tell you, he's doing more interviews. He's having stories written about him and where he's come from and how he's gotten to where he is. He's an unbelievable cat. He is engaging as all can be. You and him together are you guys are like Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. You guys are hysterical together. Great duo. You really are.
We try to make fun, make this fun for the people. Go out there, say hi to kids, give them balls signed by us, or a calendar sign. You know how much of a difference that makes? Have you seen the Twitter? When my Twitter is filled up with these pictures of a kid coming to our booth and kids doing having a ball sign and they show it on Twitter, and, you know, like, that's what we look for. We look for kids, you know, to make them smile. Maybe they cannot reach a player that day because they're too far. But guess what? If I have a baseball, I'll sign it, and I'll toss it up to the kids. You know, that'll make our day, too. So we're here hopefully to stay, bro. That's all I'm saying. I mean, we're trying hard to do the 81 games. Not this year. I'm not fighting for it this year. We're good with 67, and we'll be fine for next year. We'll fight for that. But man, it's been amazing here.
Well,
the fans have been crazy cool to us.
Like I said, I think you guys are. There's no question in my opinion. You guys have become part of everything that's going on around here. The tweets and the stuff that I see when you throw the balls to kids and. I mean, you're doing. I promise you, you're doing everything and more that they wanted you guys to do. So it's been great, I'm sure, for both sides.
It's been awesome.
I know our fans love you. That's for sure. They love to hear your takes. So to hear those takes, guys, just keep on sticking with us here. Don't forget, check us out at twobirdsonabat.com, where you can subscribe to the show, get a notification each time it comes out. Check out our Two Birds bloggers, who we're so happy to be associated with. Please don't forget to find us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. If you're a Cardinal fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back. Make sure you find us at on the Instagram side as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. But our biggest push is always Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Find our Facebook page. Make sure you've liked it. Please click invite your friends as well, as we'd like to just incorporate as many people as possible into the fun. When you see the pinned post, if you like it, comment on it and share it. That's how that post becomes relevant and seen by more people. A lot of you guys do that every time we pin a post, and we do appreciate it, and we want you to know how much we appreciate it. To all of our Facebook partners out there, thank you for your continued support. Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com. Our friends Vicky and Linda over with I Am a Cardinals Fan, Yes I Am, and fans of Yadier Molina, one of our favorite
You got to write all those down so I can follow them.
Yeah. Well, no, you follow some of them. I've seen you jump in some of these. No,
I'll
get
I don't.
Well, we'll get you in. Believe me, they'd love to hear from you in there. There's some good stuff that goes in there. People get a little nutty in there sometimes, but hopefully they can bring that in.
Man.
Our friend Chris Lawless runs a great one. You've met him. Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. His friend Larry had reached out to a lot of listeners.
I think
saying,
I follow that one.
Yeah, and you know, he had sent a post out. And I want to tell people, I want to reiterate something Larry said. You know, for a lot of people out there running these Facebook groups is number one, they're doing something for you because they're giving you an opportunity to have a platform to be heard. They're also giving people an opportunity to have a conversation about something that we all love, which is Cardinal baseball. Some people really do get nutty with this and take it over the top. I just don't understand the need to just berate people and turn something that is supposed to be a labor of love for a guy into a, I'm sorry, but a bitch fest, okay? Where he's got to stand and be referee between grown people, okay? Listen, I'm not telling you got to be all roses and puppy dog tails all the times, and gosh forbid you have something you want to say, say it. But we don't have to be belligerent. We don't have to be ignorant about it. And listen, I'm human. I get upset too, but it's name calling. It's thinking people aren't as smart as you. It's acting like those are the types of things that if we just avoid, I think we can have some civil conversations.
That's just not being nice at all, and that's not the way to do things. And you won't see me interacting with anybody like that.
There's no reason. Just ignore it. And that's what you've taught me, and I've gotten better about it, and that's where I'm at. So great one there. Ron does such a great job.
You gotta write him down.
Yeah, cards on deck and everything. We're gonna be doing some stuff with Ron. I'm real excited about what we're gonna be doing, but he's involved in so many different great shows, Team of Rivals.
Hey, I'm gonna ask the Cardinals to see if we can do a show on Ballpark Village or one of the shows. That'd be cool, man.
It would be cool. Hey, listen, you ask, and if they say yes, we'll do anything you want to do. I'll tell you that right now.
We'll get it going over there. We'll have a show there.
But it's, you know, speaking of all that again, don't forget Patio's, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans. We'll be releasing the dates when you can come meet Benji, asking questions, take some pics, do whatever you guys want to do. We'll have those dates out to you guys. I'd like to try to have them out sometime next week. That way you guys can start planning. I'll be working with Benji and then with our friend Dean over at Patio. So don't forget to hit them up pre and post game. Randy Green, thank you for your continued support. Folks, all we're asking is that you give him an opportunity for your business. For all of you out there that deal in residential, commercial, and industrial, and you need a construction team, heating and cooling, or electric team, InnovativeCompanies.com is the name you can know and trust. That's Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Our good friend Mike over with Adam Smokehouse, we'll be getting over there soon to see you, bud. I know you got the best barbecue in St. Louis. I know that anybody that comes and checks you out knows that you have the best barbecue in St. Louis. For those of you that have yet to check it out, we are going to encourage you to do so. Located on Watson Road, open till 7, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. You can do box lunches. You can do to-go orders. They do some delivery to certain zip codes. Check them out, folks. I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. St. Louis, here's your cue. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Make sure you check them out. Like I mentioned on today's show, we're going to be doing some cool stuff, hopefully with Benji, with some baseball school type things for all the young players out there that want to learn the game and increase their baseball IQ. That's something I'm real excited about. Also, the Illinois side growing, which is very near and dear to my heart, obviously, and I'm passionate about. You've got the Missouri Gators and, of course, the Academy. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Don't forget our friends at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform. Download it for free on your mobile device today, folks. For all of us here at Two Birds on the Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.